This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Bob McCowan podcast for a Wednesday. Greetings, salutations to y'all. McCowan here and Shannon with eyes.
Hey, Thanksgiving tomorrow, Bob. You having turkey?
I am.
Are you? Are you going to invite me over?
Nope. Got a couple of very close friends coming and no room for you.
Well, I can appreciate the social distancing, but thanks for the invite.
Well, I'll send you some turkey and you can have it at home, and that'll be our social distance plan.
Good. Will you drive it over yourself?
No. I'll also send some to our guest, Bob Nicholson, although he doesn't talk to me anymore. What, did I lose a game or something? What is the story, Nick?
Oh, I know. I've made mistakes in my life, but the biggest one is me not calling you when the Oilers are playing in the playoffs.
Well, after the success in Vancouver, my goodness gracious.
2010, the Olympics, yeah.
I just wasn't sure if you still had the same phone number, Bob. I can't believe I did that miss.
Actually, there was no truth to the rumor. He was living in a box under the Jarvis ramp. Okay, Bob? There was no truth to the rumor.
Oh, no. Okay. I was happy you cleared that up for me, John, because I didn't want to bring that up myself.
Well, that's actually only partially true. I had a 5-bedroom, 8,000-square-foot place underneath the Jarvis Ranch.
Yeah, Jarvis Ranch.
Not that bad, you know. Hey, what in the name of the baby Jesus is going on with your league? The NBA has got training camp ready to start. They've got their schedule put in place. They're starting in a couple of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. Nothing from you guys. Crickets. Are you getting nervous? What's going on?
No, you know what? Everyone's looking to have a clear answer. I know that both Gary Bettman and Don Fuhr are having discussions, and it's complex. You know, the NBA, yes, they're out in front of it. We have a different situation than the NBA, and right now, the teams are putting in a lot of their different formulas, financial formulas, and Gary's putting all of that together. We have the border crossing that is different than the NBA. They have one team. We have a number of teams here in Canada. And, you know, the health authorities are changing. Hey, look at it in our province when we hosted the hub. We didn't have very many cases. Now we have a lot. So there's a lot going on. I know that both sides want to get playing. Also, we just have to have further discussions with the players themselves. So,
hey, Bob, when you hear that Las Vegas, the Golden Knights, they have four players that tested positive. Columbus had at least four players test positive. Do you guys have protocols right now for players who want to practice?
Yeah, yes, we do. We have, I think we have 9 or 10 players that are practicing in Edmonton, and we have those protocols that get tested. We had a staff person that was around the players the other last week that was tested positive, so we shut them down for a couple of days. So that's going on. So we're doing the testing with players that are practicing right now in Edmonton.
So we all know the Toronto Raptors tried to get the government to allow for NBA teams to come into Canada, and they were turned down. And there seems no reason to believe, I don't think, that the NHL would have any greater success, which leaves us in one place and one place only, and that is a Canadian division, at least for a period of time. Are you aware, A, that is the only way to go, and B, are they talking about some kind of a split season whereby if there's
a change?
Well, if the situation changes, yes,
yeah.
can you adapt to it?
Yeah, I can't tell you that detail if there's going to be a split season. I know that definitely one of the options is for the Canadian teams to be in a division by themselves at the start because of the border crossing regulations. I know the border crossing regulations are coming up again on December 22nd. So we'll see what the federal government does to that. So that's one of the options that the NHLPA and the NHL are looking at for sure. Whether they would change that halfway through the season if they relax that, I'm not aware of those that discussion. But I'm sure with all the various models that they got that that's being discussed.
You know, it's no secret that there are some owners that actually are losing less money now without playing games than would if they had to pay salaries and open their buildings to no fans. And you talked about teams submitting financial circumstances to the league office. Is that the biggest issue in your mind, do you see, between whether we have a season that starts in January or not?
I think you always got to put first the safety side of it, John. You know, and as that changes, I don't think that's changed from day one. You know, and as the virus seems to move around, that still is number one for the NHL and the NHL Players Association. Yes, the finance one is there, and they have all the various models. I know that we're putting in our various financial models from Edmonton on no fans, to one-third fans, to 50% to full fans, trying to work in the various TV contracts and that. I don't have a real picture on where all that sits within the whole picture of the National Hockey League. And that's what, you know, the National Hockey League staff, Gary and Bill, are looking at and taking forward to the NHLPA.
Yeah, for the record, Eugene told us the exact same thing from an Ottawa perspective last week, that they were being asked to provide all of that information. So it seems to me it appears to be a continuing of a process before a decision can be made.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, they're trying to get clear on, you know, where the finances are and where the health situation is in Canada and throughout the states. And, you know, the virus right now is at an all-time high in both of our countries. So that certainly is a concern.
What did you learn by hosting the bubble, for lack of a better term?
You know what, Bob, that's a real good question. I think the one thing we learned, and I give credit to Gary and Don, that they were really, really strict with the protocols. You know, when we went into the training camps, various teams had positive tests. Everyone got concerned that, you know, some staff, some players had positive tests, but that was really a cleaning out process as they went through that. When everyone got to Edmonton, it was unbelievable how strict they were with the protocols, with everyone wearing masks at the first 5 days, everyone keeping social distancing from each of their teams. And so they really had a clean environment and were able to do that. And, you know, one of the biggest areas of concern wasn't just the players and the staff of the 52 per team. It was really about all the other people that were coming into the bubble, bringing in food, doing services, cleaning services, ice making. And they really had those layers protected to make sure that those people didn't get around any of the players and staff. And that's why we're so successful in both Toronto and Edmonton, because those protocols were put in place and were really, really, really strong.
So you're going to host the World Junior, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan. Those same protocols in place?
No, they're a little different, John. I was just in Zurich last week with the IHF. I can tell you that I was very pleased with the protocols that the IHF have put in. They're not IHF protocols. They're not Hockey Canada protocols. They're Alberta Health protocols, but you have to look at them in a different way. For the World Juniors, you have the various countries coming in. They've got private charters for each of those teams. Three planes, for seven teams. The key thing that we were looking at from the IHF is 3 days prior to them getting on the plane, they had to have two tests that were negative. Then those players and staff could get on the team. Once they land in Edmonton, they're going to be put in their hotel rooms for 5 days in individual hotel rooms. They won't be able to train, but they'll go into those rooms. They'll be tested. So when everyone comes out of their hotel rooms, they will be in a clean environment to go forward with their training and go into the.
So just before Bob jumps in here, the NHL players, I say this respectfully, are adults. You're dealing with 17, 18, 19-year-old boys. How concerned are you about that when it comes to the protocols?
I think that's something that I know that Scott Smith, Tom Rennie, Renee Fussell, myself have had those. And they're going to have compliance officers within each team. They're going to have another number of people that are going to be in that environment. I think the more I've stressed, the more of those people that they can have in the environment walking around, kids might just forget to put their mask on. You can do it once, but if it continues, what are they going to have to do to that player? So it's going to have to be a real strict environment, and you're going to have to hammer that, not every day, but every hour through that event.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Bob Nicholson, you'll forgive me, but I'm having a hard time understanding why the World Juniors is being contested. I sort of get the NHL and the big TV contract, and it's a long form deal. I know the World Juniors are an extremely popular holiday thing. It's a big deal for TSN. It's a big deal for people who, especially now, I think we would all concede, you know, we're going to be we've been spending a lot of time at home. We're short on entertainment, and it will serve that purpose. But economically, it's got to be challenging. How close do you think it came to not happening at all, Bob?
I think it came really close, and I think that, you know, Hockey Canada stepped up. Hockey Canada, with their partnership with the with TSN, really felt that it was important to keep Hockey Canada, out in the forefront of hockey in this country. There's one way to do that, and that's to do the World Juniors. I know that their costs are rising, but they feel it's best for Hockey Canada, the symbol of hockey in this country, and the other countries really want to play. As you know, Bob and John, the World Juniors in this country, so much attention to it. And even though there won't be fans, I think the TV numbers will be huge for Hockey Canada and the IHF.
Where does this tournament, you talked about the other seven teams or eight teams wanting to play, where does this tournament fit now in Europe? Because there was a time when it, you know, really it was designed around what you guys did at Hockey Canada when you were there for the Canadian market. But how much has that changed?
Yeah, you know what? It's really starting to change. You know, when you rank the Men's World Championship for the International Ice Hockey Federation is number one. That's what draws all their money, and that's what draws all their sponsors' TV numbers. We don't understand that in Canada, but worldwide it's huge. But World Juniors is really starting to grow. You'll see when it's hosted in Finland, Sweden, you know, last time in Malmo, sold out arenas. So it's catching on. It's still not what it is in Canada, but it certainly is really, really growing in other parts of the world.
Do you think it's because of the comparative with European soccer and And we all know the World Cup is the big deal, but they hold a variety of tournaments for younger age groups, and they don't have near the impact. I wonder if there's a comparative there, in your opinion.
A little bit. It took us a long time, you know, Bob. You know, it was World Juniors in Canada sold out. You go over there, I remember winning gold medals in front of 300 people.
I know.
You know, but right now, the tradition of Christmas has really helped. And I really think more and more, you know, the NHL visibility in Europe is better today than ever before. And that now they're seeing these players going right from World Juniors and not just going into the NHL, but becoming stars in the NHL. So the followers of hockey really watch it closely because of that. You know, you look at some of the players that are going to play. Hey, I just, Doc, who was so good with Chicago this year, you know, really made a huge impact in Chicago and now back playing in the World Juniors. Takes you back to North Dakota when we had Sidney Crosby and you know, so many of those great players on those teams. So the following really is connected now, I think, World Juniors to the NHL, and that's real important.
Actually, you bring up a really good point. We still don't have the Western League started. We don't have the Ontario League started. Quebec has tried to start, and they've gone in spurts. They're playing again in parts now. But this is one of the very few times on the calendar now where people can actually evaluate draft available players, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. You know, they get to see these players. You know, it's going to really help NHL teams, although, you know, we really want the three Canadian Hockey Leagues to get going. And I know they're all trying. We're certainly trying to do that in the Western Hockey League. And we've got a formula just for Alberta. But the World Juniors is going to have a lot of draft eligible players, and that'll be good for the players too. Real good for the players and good for National Hockey League.
You talk about the Western League. Your organization owns the Oil Kings in Edmonton. Do you see it realistic that the Western League starts sometime in January or February?
Yes, I do. And I give credit here to Ron Robinson, and I also give a lot of credit to the Alberta Health in our case. We're looking at having a division of just Alberta teams. And I know Jason Kenney really feels that it's important to have hockey. He's looking at the Western Hockey League and the Alberta Junior Hockey League in ways to help us get playing. And I think we'll be playing sometime in January. So I'm not sure how many games it'll be, and how many fans it'll be, but I think there's a way to do it financially to make that happen.
And does that mean that you expect BC to be able to do the same thing, the American teams, Saskatchewan and Manitoba?
I can't comment on that, John, because I haven't been around those discussions. Tim Shipton of our organization has been a real key working with Ron Robinson, so I have a real good feel of where that is, but I can't comment on the others.
With Bob Nicholson, I know Shannon has seen your magnificent new facility that has been constructed in Edmonton. I think we can still say it's new. I, of course, have been patiently waiting for some kind of an invitation from you, but that has not been forthcoming.
That's not coming now.
No,
you know what, John?
Oh, no,
John?
Don't start now, Nick.
John?
What?
There could be a chance. How are the numbers on this podcast?
Is it really good?
Well, they were good until this show.
Yeah. You know, because we have built a little area in this magnificent arena for a podcast, and maybe that could be you. You know, that'd be the very first one in the best building in the National Hockey League, and have your couple podcasts there. That might be a pretty good one.
Maybe I'll just move in. There's nobody else using the damn place now, is there?
Yeah, we got an extra couch for you. That's what you use to sleep on.
Hold on. If he gets the sofa, what do I get? That's what I'm concerned about.
Nobody talked about you. Were we talking about you? We weren't talking about you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there we go. Thank you very much.
All the time. You know, you're like this with all
I get, Listen, the Edmonton Oilers have treated me very well over the years. I think it's a mutual situation.
I'm like the flea on the dog, you know. Oh. So how...
Bob McCowan, what is it like not to be loved? I mean, that is an awful thing to go through, particularly at this time of year.
Doesn't happen very often. It's a rarity. It's only with Nicholson, and I can't explain it, you know.
Listen, I'd like to change this around a bit. I'm going to ask a couple questions.
No, I'm going to ask you a question now. So, but I was getting to a question. That was kind of the preamble, and of course it got out of control, as it usually does with the three of us. But so you have this facility. It's not just an arena. It's everything. It's all kinds of stuff. Is Kate's running out of money? Is he okay? You know, does he need a loan, or like business is bad, right?
Yeah, you know what? Seriously, business is bad. You know, when you have lockouts, you know, you have all your other businesses to support it. You know, Daryl's in the restaurant business, the entertainment business, the Hollywood business, nightclub. You know, those businesses aren't doing very well. We're fortunate to have someone like Daryl that continues to support us. But things have been tough. It's been a tough number of months. We've had to put a tremendous amount of staff on CERB, you know, rollbacks to people, having other people work 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, just to keep things rolling. So I see a light at the end of the tunnel, Bob. I see, you know, some vaccines coming. So we got to try to stay positive. We want hockey to get back and get back to normal life, because this certainly isn't the way that we want to run our business or run our lives, as both of you guys know.
Before you grill us with your very difficult questions, you mentioned you were in Switzerland last week, and there was word coming out of there, not official yet, about the chance that whether it be COVID or other political issues, that the World Championships might have to move out of Belarus, out of Minsk. Any update on that?
Where we are with all the IHF tournaments, I think there's approximately 40 world championships worldwide. We've canceled all the world championships for this year, except World Juniors, Women's Worlds in Halifax, Under 18 Men's in Plymouth, and Men's World in Belarus. We're going to continue to look at what happens, probably make those decisions here in January. And there is a situation in Belarus, you know, the political situation that's ongoing. Right. You know, the other ones are all about the coronavirus, and that certainly is there in Belarus. We have to get a better handle on that, and we have to look at the political situation. There's pressures on all sides of all of these tournaments, and it's a tough one. And even to move a world championship at this time is tough. So we're looking to see if there's options there. But that decision will come out in January, John.
All right, you said you had questions before we let you go. What do you want to know?
Yeah, obviously you haven't been doing very much, Bob, and I certainly understand your situation.
I've been babysitting your friend Shannon. That's what I've been doing.
Hold on. I think the words are in a little different order there, but that's okay.
Oh, no, they're exactly right. Anyway, sorry, Nick. What do you want?
Is your golf game better because you get to play more, or is it worse? And, you know,
you'll have to show up with your bag of money in order to find that out, Nick.
Yeah, but hold on. Listen, I McCowan, this is actually a fair question, because as long as you promise to stay after the match, then I think Bob might show up.
What do you mean stay after the match? I always stay after the match.
Pardon me?
Well, you go ahead, John.
No, John.
You're mistaking a generality of how I operate with how I deal with you.
No.
It was three or four hours on the golf course with you. I've had enough.
With current events going on, quite frankly, the last time the three of us played together was very similar to some of the reaction that the current president of the United States had to the election results. And you know, we didn't even finish putting, and you were in your car in the parking lot on the way out.
I have no recollection of that.
Well, and neither will the president in a couple of months, so it's okay.
Yeah, I remember that very clearly, and there's a whole trail of money that he had to do right to his car, but I think he was short a couple of dollars as the car took off.
Well,
what a crock of crap you guys are spending here.
No.
Where was this a blessed event take?
This is at Red Tail with your buddy Brian Cooper.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh, was it that cockamamie? That event for the ladies,
the women's tournament.
Yeah. Oh, I love that event. Is that still going on, Nick? Do you know, you're not there anymore, so you don't care.
Yeah, I don't get it. No, I think that Pat McElhinney was the key behind all of that.
He's had five jobs since then.
Yeah, he's on his fifth job, so it's changed. But you know what? That was a great event. It was great. It really helped the women's hockey win the Olympic gold, and that's why I had to get you out there to get you supporting women's hockey a bit. It helped a little bit, but not a lot. But it really helped me finance some of my habits playing golf. I'd love to play
with
you.
I'm happy to help.
I don't think I have to bring a lot of money. I just got to bring an empty bag so you can pour your money in it. So
Look for it.
Well, you know, as part of your world, you have you've helped promote the women's game. You've also been very involved in the Indigenous people, particularly in and around your time with the Oilers. And sad to know that Fred Saskiamoosh passed away this week.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, really sad. I got to know Fred Moore when I came to Edmonton here. He's been at a number of games and had a huge impact on hockey. And, you know, we got Black Lives Matters that's going on in the National Hockey League. When we look at it here in Edmonton, we want to support that. But we really are putting more and more programs together to help the Indigenous people, underprivileged people, in oil country area, and it's something that has to be ongoing with all the teams, and we feel really confident that we have had some good programs, are going to even have better programs as the hockey season starts up.
Nick, you know we love you, and we're it's so nice to see you. It's been a while since we've chatted, and nice to see your face here on the YouTube channel, Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that hockey starts up soon, and we'll have an opportunity to chat some more down the road. But thanks for this. We appreciate it.
Nicholson and I need two aside from you, Bob. So,
yeah. Which side would you like them on? Left side or right side?
Listen, guys, congratulations on this podcast, Bob. And you know what? You're both are true friends, and we're going to have hockey back soon. We're going to get it back. We're going to get back to normal. We got to make sure everyone stays in a positive mood. It's tough these days. It's really tough. But say something positive to everyone you talk to, and we're going to turn this thing around slowly.
We wish you good luck with that, and we'll stay on top of it. Bob Nicholson of the Edmonton Oilers for John Shannon, Bob McCallum. That's the podcast. We'll see you on Friday.